This is KUT 90.5. I'm Nathan Bernier. It was a little over a year ago, mid-October 2018, that the city of Austin told people to stop drinking tap water unless they boiled it first for at least 3 minutes.
In the abundance of caution, we are issuing a boil water notice for all customers of Austin Water. I'm told this has never been done in the history of the water utility. Clearly, this has impacted not just for our residents, but for our hospitals, schools, food services, and manufacturers across the region.
That was City Manager Spencer Kronk on October 22nd of last year. Stores ran dry of bottled water. Guys like Victor Garza were waiting in the aisles of HEB for more to show up.
I should have left a long time ago, but, you know, I got kids, you know, so I just trying to wait. Really for them, you know. For me, I ain't worried about I could boil the water like they say, but it's cool.
When you got here, there was none?
Nah, when I got here, I think they had a truck like an hour before that or 30 minutes before I got here. You see everybody going outside with cases, but they got four is the limit.
So that was a year ago, and now here we are today. We have a report from a company called Hagerty Consulting. They were hired by the city of Austin and Travis County to complete this after-action report and corrective action plan. And in that report, we're learning about some of the things that happened during the boil water notice that we weren't really aware of at the time, and some recommendations for what to do if this happens again. KUT's Mose Bushell has been going over this report. Hello, Mose.
Hey, Nathan.
Can you remind us what caused this water boil notice in the first place?
Yeah, it was basically massive flooding on the Colorado River, right? We had all those rains last fall that just shot tons of water downstream into our reservoirs here in Austin. That water brought with it a lot of sediment and runoff. We'd had kind of a drought before that, so there's all this dry soil, got into the water. And if you remember this word, turbidity.
Yes, yes.
Everybody learned that word about a year ago, right? Because it was like, it's essentially really murky water. When that hit our water treatment plants, it was too murky to efficiently treat. And that slowed down our ability to treat water and eventually led to this boil water notice because the city said it could not guarantee the water quality.
And of course, the week-long boil water notice was a different event than the zebra mussel incident in which water sort of started tasting like rotting sea life. That was in February of this year. I had to go look it up because I forgot how far apart they were. But zebra mussel thing, totally separate and has nothing to do with the boil water notice, right?
Yeah, it's been a crazy year for Austin water stuff, but this is not about the zebra mussels.
The boil water notice lasted for 7 days. I did not realize the extent to which hospitals were affected.
Yeah, if you really dig into this report, you see some interesting things emerge that, like you said, I wasn't aware of. According to the report, some area hospitals didn't have enough reserve water on hand, even though there's a state law, apparently, that hospitals are supposed to maintain a certain reserve. It says not all hospitals do. And in fact, some surgeries were canceled, it said, for days into the event because they just weren't sure about whether the water that they had was of surgical quality, I guess, medical quality.
How were schools affected by the water boil?
One thing the report really tries to hit home is the importance of schools in maintaining other city services, right? So if schools can't support students, if they can't provide three meals a day, if they can't provide safe drinking water, well, that might mean they may have to close. If schools close, suddenly the kids are at home, then city workers who maybe would be responding to this emergency need to stay home too. So there's this kind of, I think it actually refers to it as a rippling effect in the report that tries to underline how important schools are. And it did say that schools, it specifically says schools are underprepared for these hazards, were not able to boil enough water and provide three meals a day necessarily. So it does suggest better communication with schools and better preparedness among public schools for future disasters.
Also unprepared, according to this report, were jails.
Yeah, this was really surprising to see. It said that county correctional facilities, jails, weren't able to provide enough drinking water for inmates and that officials had to kind of use trial and error to find enough bottled water to supply the people there. It also says, this was a surprise to me, that there is no evacuation plan, essentially. The report seems to suggest that it would be a good idea in events like this to redistribute inmates to other facilities that can accommodate them, right? But that it doesn't appear as though the county has an adequate evacuation policy to be able to do that.
Well, let's get to those recommendations, because this report from Hagerty Consulting that was commissioned by the city of Austin and Travis County to look at the week-long boil water notice last year. It has 161 recommendations in it, and we don't have time to get through all of them, but what were some of the top-line recommendations that stood out to you?
Just to kind of take care of a lot of that out of the gate, it seems like a lot of them are kind of broadly speaking touch on improving communication, improving coordination between city departments, improving training for, you know, the next natural disaster. A lot of that can kind of be put in that bucket.
What about improving the water?
I'm glad you asked that because, you know, that's really like the big question, right? Can we change something so that this is less likely to happen in the future? And there is one recommendation that seems to address that most specifically, and that's essentially improving our filtration system at our three city water treatment plants. It says that we should upgrade to a polymer-based treatment system that can be kind of an add-on to our current system that would better remove this, you know, like all this sediment from the water if it ever gets this bad again.
And that would be $10 million, I think?
Yeah, it gives a price tag around $10 million. And in the report, the city water utility says it's right now kind of scoping that out to figure out how it's going to do that upgrade.
Will climate change increase the odds of this type of turbidity event occurring again?
Indeed. And we can go back to what we talked about at the start of this. What we saw here was a drought situation, drying out the soil, and then followed up by massive flooding. This is exactly the kind of thing that climate models say we will see more of. And heavier rainfall along the Colorado River Basin is something that people are expecting. And the city's aware of this. It says specifically in the report, we need to be ready for things like this to happen in the future more frequently, because that's exactly what the science is telling us will happen.
KUT's Moz Bushel joining us to talk about that week in October of last year when people in Austin were told to boil their water for at least 3 minutes before drinking it. You can read his story about this after-action report at KUT.org. Thank you so much, Moz.
Thanks, Nathan.